Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order for April 1st, 2025. We have a quorum. We have some minutes to adopt. Representative Ogbaje, have you had a chance to read the minutes?
One second, Chair. Yes, Chair, reviewed the minutes. So moved.
Minutes have been moved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Minutes are approved. Thank you. So we have a couple of items of business before us this evening, the first one being the adoption of the agreed-upon House budget targets, and I believe Co-Chair Stevenson has a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move adoption of the budget resolution labeled BUDRES-02.
Thank you for that motion. We will at this point have nonpartisan staff walk through the budget resolution. Ms. Ahrens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So the budget resolution has a lot of numbers in it, and what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the budget resolution document and then a little bit about the tracking document that's also in your packets. So in the budget resolution on line 1.5, this is the total amount of general fund spending that is slated for the years 2026 and 2027. So it's the $66.6 billion number. And then there are all of the numbers that are below it are targets that are set for the finance committees. And then before I go through the tracking document, that's where I'll show you how we get to that $66.6 billion. But I also would like to point out on page 2, I just want to bring your attention to, starting on line 2.11, there are a number of non-general fund items that are listed as well. And so the first one is the healthcare access fund, and then the workforce development fund is listed on 2.19. The Minnesota Forward Fund is listed on 2.23. And then the premium security plan account is listed on 2.27. And for the last three funds or accounts that I just mentioned, what this effectively does is this limits the amount of spending in these areas to the amount that's already planned for in 26 and 27. So there it doesn't allow for any additional spending out of these funds or accounts. And then for the healthcare access fund, the number that's on line 2.13 for the health finance bill, this amount is an increase of $25 million over that planned spending amount that I mentioned. And what this does is it allows that finance committee to spend an extra $25 million from the healthcare access fund in addition to their general fund target. So now if you would look at the tracking document, that at the top it says House Budget Resolution. Mr. Kennedy is helping with the document. So what this does is it lists out all of the finance committees in the first column, and then it there's a column for the February forecast base, and then there is February forecast base columns for each of the following bienniums as well. If you look at the 26-27 total column, these are the same numbers that you would find in the budget resolution. So this is the February forecast base number plus the change from base. And so when we think about targets, we typically are thinking about the numbers that are in the columns for the change from base. So I'll use agriculture as an example because it's the first line. So agriculture, the base spending for 26 and 27 would be $151 million. And then the committee received an increase in spending as their target of $17 million. And so the combination of those two results in the new total of $168.8 million in that column. So all of the finance committee totals, they sum to a number that is less than that first number I talked about on page 1. So that $66.6 billion, you can see that on row 29 of the tracking document. It's kind of right smack dab in the middle. And the difference between the committee totals and that number, there is money set aside for a potential pension spill of $124 million. And then there's about $13.3 million that's set aside for other bills, and that would fund bills that come through the Ways and Means Committee aside from the finance budget bills. And then we always carry a cancellation amount. It's set at $87 million for the biennium, and that's just a presumption of funds that will cancel because they just weren't able to spend them. And so so that's how you get to that $66.6 billion amount. And then I'd like to also point out, we've talked a little bit about inflation. And since we are now in the biennium where the inflation was set aside for, I'm not saying that very eloquently, but on line 31, you can see that what we do to adjust for that is we just subtract the inflation amount so that it sort of takes the set aside out of the calculation. And so the total spending, once again, is $66.6 billion for the 26-27 biennium. And this isn't listed on this tracking document, but the balance overall at the end is about $1.6 billion that's left on the bottom line. And Mr. Chair, I think I'll leave it at that unless there are questions about either the tracking document or the budget resolution.
Are there any questions for fiscal staff this evening regarding this document? Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question was just about other rider agreements that were included with this as well, if we could get details on what those may be.
Yes, there are rider agreements that are not listed on this page.
Mr. Chair, any more details on that?
No.
Probably so. Maybe a couple. Ride or die, Joe. Ride or die.
You'll find out. Any other questions? Seeing none, I would just like to take a couple of minutes to thank the people involved with this effort. It took quite a bit of time. I think we met for 12 straight days, one, two, three, and sometimes four times a day. We are in, as you know, unusual circumstances with a tie. It's never been done before. We've never had co-chairs before negotiate budget targets. So I would like to personally thank Representative Stevenson for his hard work, his staff member, Sean Herring, my CA, Harry Kennedy, our researcher in Ways and Means, Matt Eichinger, who came up with a brand new terminology. We now, instead of calling, you know, trying to figure out what to call the first biennium, we call it the heads. So we have heads and tails. It's really convenient. I suggest you all start adopting this terminology when you're talking about this four-year budget situation. So we got the heads and we got the tails. Thank you, Matt, for that. And I also, of course, like to thank Dave Sullivan from the DFL staff, and especially our nonpartisan fiscal staff, Colby Sullivan, and especially Emily Adrians, who sat through virtually all of our meetings and was pleasant throughout, and that's no small task in itself. So thank you. Thank you, Emily, and thanks to all the staff. And I believe Representative Stevenson would like to make some remarks before we go on to the vote.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would echo your comments and thank you for your excellent work on these targets. You know, this, I think, was the first major test of our ability to work together under this power-sharing agreement, and I'm really pleased that we passed that test and delivered a budget resolution on time. It did take a lot of work, and extreme compliments to the staff members that you mentioned, your excellent staff, our great staff, and the nonpartisan staff with whom we couldn't absolutely not do this work. So thank you for that. I know we have still have a long road ahead of us to deliver a enacted budget, but if the rest of session can proceed the way that these discussions went, I think we will be in good shape.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson, for those remarks. And I certainly agree with you that there's plenty of work yet ahead of us. The objective here, from my perspective anyway, was to make everyone a little bit unhappy. That's what a true compromise looks like, and I think for the most part we have achieved that. So with that, Representative Stevenson removes his motion to adopt Bud Res 2, the House Budget Resolution. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed by the same sign. Thank you. The budget resolution is passed. Next, we have a bill, House File 601, Representative Ferkel. Members, I will add that this, Ms. Adrian's mentioned the bills that were agreed to, and this is one of those that we agreed to as part of the budget resolution. It really, the money's going to come out of this year's, the 2025 surplus, I guess, or there's, yes, surplus. So I will move House File 601 before the committee and move that it be placed on the general register to your bill, Representative.
All right. Thank you, Chair Torkelson. So House File 601 aims to provide compensation to farmers for crop and fence damage caused by elk as well as livestock killed or injured by wolves, currently under the Wolf Depredation Program. The Minnesota Department of Ag compensates livestock owners for animals that are killed or injured by wolves, and that compensation amount is based on the fair market value determined by MDA in consultation with a university extension agent, or back home where I'm at, Kitson County, the county sheriff's department actually can be trained to carry out the depredation assessment as well. Really due to the high incidence of wolf-related damage in Kitson County. Similarly, the elk depredation program allows the MDA to compensate landowners for crop and fence damage caused by elk. An authorized agent appointed by the Department of Ag investigates and estimates the value there as well. So House File 601 is an appropriation for fiscal year 25, addressing the issue right now that the current funding for depredation has been depleted. With that, that's really the guts of the bill, $250,000 for this year. It's unfortunate, but our livestock and crop producers up there are already waiting for dollars right now as we speak. I think, as I just heard from the Department of Ag, that the elk carryover number right now is about $93,000 plus, and wolf claims are over almost 22,000, if I remember correctly. So that's where we stand right now. I can take questions.
Thank you, Representative Burkle. Any questions for the author? Representative, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Burkle, thanks for bringing this bill before us. I'm a bit out of my depth just in terms of agriculture conversations, and aside from visiting Representative Nelson's farm a couple of times. Just curious if you could help shed a little bit of light on what it looks like for farmers in terms of insuring their animals and kind of how that process pays out in terms of, you know, submitting a claim. And I also see the ability to receive compensation, and this section is capped at $20,000. So curious how many folks are we anticipating that this amount of money will help this year?
Great.
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. The way it works now is once the loss is discovered by the producer, they need to report that claim within 48 hours, and then the investigation on the farm happens. Once the claim forms are completed and sent to MDA, and then the findings from there are, you know, is this a wolf killer, isn't it? And from that point on, the market value is determined if it's believed to be a wolf kill. And then either the claim is denied or it moves along and the assessment's taken and the process happens from there. The payment goes out. In this case, we've got quite a few, mainly in the elk depredation program, and I'm the only, until Fond du Lac sees elk up their way, I'm the only representative right now with that issue. But the fence claims and the crop damage that a herd of elk can do in a short time overnight. 40 acres of soybeans can be trampled overnight. So the $20,000 cap is a problem, and I know Department of Ag has made some recommendations about moving that up. That was set back in 1987, I believe. So that is an issue, but a lot of our elk producers probably reach that cap. On the wolf side, it's not quite as many.
Follow-up, Representative Cattisa Wachone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was really helpful. I appreciate you just kind of walking through. So is this this additional funding goes kind of above and beyond what the producer may be able to capture in covered insurance items?
This, Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, this would catch up to the grower or the growers, producers, crop producers that have not been able to been paid on the claims they have sitting at MDA right now. It really is just catching them up.
Thank you. Any other questions for Representative Burkle? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have kind of a weird question, but do they allow elk hunting in Minnesota?
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, yes, they do, actually. Okay. And those tags and that's going to be happening as we speak. That hunt will probably be a little bit truncated this year as the numbers are down.
Okay.
In the Kitson Central herd. But the biggest pressure on the depredation claims are the Kitson Central herd. And there will be no hunt in the Grigla herd in Marshall County. That herd has not grown for years.
Okay.
But that's yes, there is.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Representative Burkle? Seeing none, I renew my motion that House File 601 be placed on the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The bill is passed and moved on to the general register. Congratulations, Representative Burkle. Members, that concludes our business for this evening. This meeting is adjourned.